Now, flip to Matthew chapter 6 with me. Matthew chapter 6. And see, when you are, just while you're flipping, when you are yielding to strife like that, when you are yielding to unforgiveness, to bitterness, to those type of things, those things weaken your spirit. You understand that when you allow those things in, they drain you spiritually. And the reason is because you weren't created to be in strife. Consequently, there's no grace to live a life full of strife. So see, whatever God graces you to do, when His grace comes on you, it makes it easy, doesn't it? What did Jesus say? My yoke is easy, my burden is light. So see, the idea is when His grace is on you, it's not a struggle. It's not a struggle for me to do this because God has graced me to do it. It's not a struggle for you to go into your area and do what God's called you to do because He's graced you to do it. Now, maybe if I went into your area and tried to, you know, be a housewife all day, that might not be my grace. No. I mean, kids would probably have underwear on their head, mess everywhere. I mean, it'd be, you know, something crazy to be going out. Why? Because I'm not graced to do that. Right? But maybe you are. And then maybe if you got up here, maybe it wouldn't go so well for you either because it'd be a struggle. Why? Because wherever there's grace, that'll remove the struggle from life. And see, oftentimes the reason why, if you ever, you know, worrying is hard, isn't it? It's taxing, isn't it? You know why? Because there's no grace to do that.
Right.
So you're doing it by yourself. No, it's draining you. I mean, casting your care on the Lord is the easiest thing in the world. You know why it's easy? Because you're graced to not worry. You ever not, you know, been in faith so much that you just don't worry? You think, this is so easy. That's because you're graced to do it. Right? Okay. So we don't want to do things that tax our spirit, that drain our spirit. And all that, you know, all sin, all bitterness, all that stuff starts to drain that spirit, and your spirit becomes weak. That goes into that verse that those who've entered into rest have ceased from their own works. Well, all that strife, all that bitterness, all that's all your own stuff. God didn't tell you to do any of that. And that stuff will drain you spiritually. Okay? Have you found Matthew chapter 6? Okay, we might just start a series entitled The Champion Spirit, but we'll just see where we go. Now, Matthew chapter 6, and we've been doing a series on Wednesday nights. Does anybody know what it's called? Some of you are saying, I'm not saying anything. No, it's called The Law of Life, right? You recognize that, don't you? We've been doing a series entitled The Law of Life. And we've been talking about how to take the Word of God, to sow it into our hearts, and to see that Word come to pass in our lives, haven't we? And we said, what is the law of life? The law of life is simply this. The word that you look at, the word that you listen to, are going to go through the gateway of your mind and enter the ground of your heart. And whatever gets into your heart, Proverbs 4 told you, out of your heart is coming the issues of your life. So I need to guard my heart, don't I? I need to tend to my ground, to my garden. I need to put words in there that I want to come to pass in my life. And I need to guard it from words that I don't want to come to pass in my life. Amen? Now, Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to look here at verse 33. Are you ready this evening?
Amen.
We are doing a series entitled The Law of Life. And we got on this because we were asking ourselves the question, where does life come from? I mean, what's determining the results you get? I mean, why you know, are you not walking in joy? Why do you seem to be bearing the fruit constantly of discouragement? Of worry, of fear, maybe of lack, or of financial struggle. Why does that fruit keep seeming to come up and be there? Why aren't you bearing the fruit of joy, of peace, of prosperity, of maybe it's healing or something like that? What's determining what you get? Who's determining what you get? And once we find out that, can I do anything that is going to turn or switch what I get? Right? And that's the law of life in a nutshell. Now, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, a familiar verse of Scripture to many of you. And Jesus said there, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Now, if you read through these verses, starting, you know, all the way up in verse 20 and down through verse 33, He's teaching them how to add things to themselves. And He teaches that one thing. He says, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to His stature? So He said, you might as well not worry because it's not going to add something to you that you want. Okay, so don't do that. And then he starts telling them, look at the lilies of the field. They grow. What's he saying? They get increase. Increase is added to them. Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow, neither do they reap, nor gather to barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. So he's talking about adding things that you need or desire unto you. And what is his instruction to the person that wants to add things to themselves? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The Amplified Bible says, seek his way of doing and being right, and then all these things will be added unto you. How many of you heard that verse before? Well, what does that mean? I like to ask God sometimes, well, what does that mean? When he says seek the kingdom, what does that mean? What seek his way? What does that mean? I need to know what I need to do from that verse. I don't want to just say amen and say, well, that's a cute verse. I'm going to put it on my notebook. I want to know, what do I do to seek the kingdom? Are you interested in knowing that? Well, go to Mark chapter 4. Now, you do understand that there's two kingdoms in the world today, don't you? There is the kingdom of God, and then there is the kingdom of darkness, the world system and God's system. And the reality is, you are living by one or the other, right? And the world has a way, it has a system of doing things in every walk of life. It has a way of doing things in education, it has a way of doing things in finance, it has a way of doing things where your body's concerned. The world has a way, or Satan has a way, in every system. Well, God has a way of education. God has a way of finance. God has a way where your body's concerned. God has a system set up in every realm of life, and the enemy is a counterfeit, so wherever God has a system set up, he has a system set up. You know, like God's system of finance is that if you're in lack, then give and it'll be given unto you. The world system of finance is if you're in lack, start hoarding up everything that you have, and whatever you gave last year, cut it back. Make sense to you?
Yes.
God's answer is when you're in lack, give more. The world's answer is when you're in lack, hoard more. Be more selfish. Why? Because I got to take care of me. Okay? So see, God has a way, the world has a way. We want to always endeavor to do it God's way, don't we? Now, in Psalm 103, verse 19, you can just jot that one down. The scripture there says that the kingdom of God rules over all. Now, the kingdom of God is God's system. It's his way of doing things. It's his government. It's the way, you know, the world's kingdom is the world's way of doing things. God's kingdom is God's way of doing things. So if I seek first God's way of doing things, then whatever I don't have, he has a way to get that thing added to me. Right? No matter what it is, if it's in line with his will. Well, his way, or his kingdom, Psalm 103, verse 19, it rules over all. So that means there's no other system that can overpower his system. So any time that I come in with the kingdom of God's system, where the world system is already set up, once I start working God's system, the world will have no answer for God's way, because his kingdom rules over all. Okay? Now, have you found Mark chapter 4 yet? Now, Mark chapter 4. So, when it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, what am I supposed to seek? Well, we know that his way rules over all, right? His system is higher than any other system. And when I get on his system, then I'll no longer be subject to the system of the world. Remember in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, where it says, don't be conformed to the world? That's the world system. But be transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind. You got to renew your mind to God's way of doing things. Remember when he said, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, and my ways are higher than your ways. So now I need to transform my life and my thoughts to line up with God's way. And I don't need to be shocked when his way is higher than my way, because he told me it's higher than my way. Okay? It's a higher way. It's a higher system of operation. And there's more power to do more and greater things in that system. But now the question we want to ask ourselves tonight is, when it told me to seek the kingdom, what does that mean? I don't want to speculate about what it means. I want the Bible to define for me what the kingdom of God is, because if I know what it is, then I can seek it. And if I seek it, he said, the things that I need will be added to me. But I don't want to speculate about what I think it might be. Because if I don't know exactly what it is, then I won't know whether or not I'm seeking it correctly. So I need to know what it is. Okay? Now, Mark chapter 4, and Jesus said this in verse 26. He said, so is the kingdom of God. Now, what's he saying? The kingdom of God is like this. This is what it's like. Now, we know Jesus taught in parables, didn't he? And he taught in parables to use something natural to explain something spiritual. Because he would say a parable, and the disciples would say, explain that to us. And I don't blame him, because when you first read some of the stuff he said, you're like, huh? I mean, you're talking about seed and ground. What is that? What do you mean that means? So he's teaching in parables, and he says that the kingdom of God, this is what it's like. Now, what is the kingdom of? It's God's way of doing things. So this is what God's way of doing things, this is what it's like. Okay? He said, it is like a man that casts seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, and he doesn't know how. For the earth brings forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, and after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. So now the kingdom of God is like a man sowing seed into the ground. And what's the man do with the seed? He puts it into the ground. And what's the seed and the ground start doing? They start working together to start producing this blade, and then this ear, and then the full corn in the ear, and then now we have a corn harvest, because a man sowed the corn seed into the ground, and that's what the kingdom of God is like. Now, Jesus taught on this in the first part of this chapter, because he said that the word of God is the seed. Amen? And he said that the sower sows the word, and then the enemy comes immediately to take away the word that was sown where? In the heart. So, now look, he's running a parallel. In natural farming, you have a farmer. In natural farming, you have a seed. In natural farming, you have ground. In natural farming, you have something that seed grows up and becomes. You know, it doesn't just come out an apple. It comes out, and even if you plant an apple seed, the first thing that you're going to see out of the ground is a blade. And then the blade's going to grow and develop, isn't it? And then now, if it grows and develops long enough, eventually it will become a tree that bears fruit. Okay? And then in natural farming, not only do you have a man, a seed, and a ground, and a tree, then you actually have fruit that the tree produces. So now that's the parable. So now in the kingdom of God, you and I are the man, are the woman. I'm not a woman, you might be. But there's the man, there's the person. And then in the kingdom of God, just like natural farming, there is seed. In the kingdom of God, there is seed, and it is words. And in natural farming, just like there's ground in natural farming, there's ground in spiritual farming, and it's called your heart. And just like there's something that grows up from the ground in natural farming, there's something that grows up from the ground of your heart, and we like to call it the tree of your faith. Right? And then we know that if you, whatever you believe in your heart, as a man thinks in his heart, that is the fruit. That is, you see this? The fruit of your life is coming off what you believe. This is what the kingdom of God is like. So now, when you start looking at it, when God wanted to do something in the earth, he understood that if I want to work with a man and get something into the earth, then I have to come through the heart of a man. So when he wanted to get Jesus into the earth, the first thing that he ever did is in Genesis chapter 3, after Adam sinned, he told the serpent, he said, there is one coming that's going to bruise your head on his heel, and his heel on your head, vice versa. There's one. Why did God say that? Because he's giving seed that's going to produce Jesus in the earth. Are you following this? So then what would happen all throughout the Old Testament, that there were the prophets would start prophesying about the righteous branch. There's one coming. Right? Isaiah said he's wonderful. Counselor. Mighty God. Who's he talking about? And says the government's going to rest upon his shoulders. Right? Then he started really getting into it, because he started prophesying about him on the cross. And he said he's going to carry, he's going to bear your griefs and your sorrows, and like a lamb to the slaughter. He's not going to say anything. Right? Is he prophesying? Why is he saying these words? Because these words are the seeds that are going to get into the heart of men so that Jesus has a way into the earth. So when God got ready to do something, what did he use? Word seed, ground heart. See, when the angel of the Lord came to Mary, why didn't he even say anything? Why didn't he just impregnate her? Because before he could put the sperm seed in her, he had to get the word seed in her. And that's why I had to say something first. And when Mary said, be it unto me according to your word, it got in her, didn't it? In more ways than one. Right? Now, what are we saying? See, this is how God functions. So now, this should make so much sense to you, because if we had a room full of unsaved people, what would we do to them? Now, we didn't kidnap them and bring them to church. They came on their own accord. Right? And they want to be here, but they're all unsaved. What would we do? We would speak words of salvation. Why? Because we want to bear the fruit of what? Salvation. But see, if God's going to get salvation into their life, he's got to come through their heart. And the only way into man's heart is through words. So we would preach salvation with me under the leading of the Holy Spirit. And then what would happen is the word seed on salvation would get into the heart of man, and probably most people in that room would get saved and have the fruit of salvation. This is God's way of doing things. Remember what he said, how will they believe on him whom they've not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? And how will he preach without being sent? So if I want people to get healed, what should I preach on? Healing, right? Why? Because if I can get the word seed in, how are they going to believe on him whom they've not heard? And how will they hear if I don't say it? And how will I say it if God doesn't send me? You know, I can't just say it if he doesn't send me. I have to be sent, right? That's why preachers don't pick what they want to preach. They're sent to preach what God's assigned them to preach. So don't get mad when they don't preach on your favorite topic. That may not be why they're here. Amen. That's good preaching. Yeah, amen. Now, you're following me.
Yes.
So we got to start with word seed, don't we? This is God's way of doing things. And anytime he wants to get something into the life of a man, remember the scripture said he never does anything without first revealing it to the prophets. Why is he saying it to the prophets? Because he's going to get in the prophet's heart, and then what's the prophet going to do? See, Pastor Dad came up and operated in the ministry of the prophet on Sunday. Why did that happen? Because those seven, he had seven things, right? I was typing away. My keyboard wasn't smoking, but it should be. Anyway, she gave us seven things. Why did that happen? Because those were things that God wants to do in your and my life this year. But he had to first reveal it to the prophet so that she could reveal it to us. Now, what we're supposed to do is take what she said and put it into our heart and grow it. Just because it's a prophetic word doesn't mean it's automatic. Isn't that what you taught you? That's why some prophetic words work for some people and they don't work for others, because some people look at it skeptically and others get in it by faith and say, well, this year, you know, I'm in the lights, tell them the bugs are going to be sinking. Praise the Lord. Amen. The platform, it's being cleared. This is my year of fulfillment. What are you doing? You're taking word seed and you're putting it in. See, this is God's way of doing things. God's way of doing things is not that you don't spend any time in the Word for 4 years and then you, every time you have a crisis, you go cry and pray. That's not his way. Now, he is a merciful God. Isn't he? He will deal with some childish stuff. But that's not the way that you're supposed to live. Now, if you get in trouble and you haven't spent time in the Word, don't not come to him because of that. Come anyway. But change your lifestyle. Okay? Now, okay. Go to Luke chapter 8 with me. Luke chapter 8. So now, in the kingdom of God's system, we're going to talk more about this next week and as we go in this series, the word of God is the seed. Okay? Now, remember, Jesus did this. He ran a parallel between what we would call farming and God's way of doing things. There's a parallel there. And like we said, anytime God wants to do something, he always comes with the word first. Mm-hmm. And see, oftentimes, like, do you remember when Moses, see, this is so good. Remember when God, the children of Israel were in bondage in Egypt, weren't they? God did not want that, did he? So what's the first thing he did? He came and talked to Moses about it. And what did he say? I'm going to deliver my people out of bondage. Now, he put it in Moses, didn't he? Now, Moses fought with it a little bit at first, but understandably so. And then, so then Moses went to the people, and what did he say? God's going to deliver you out of bondage. And they fought it, right? But now, why are all these words necessary? See, if God is, you know, like some people paint the picture he is, why wouldn't he just scoop them up by his angels out of Egypt and just drop them in the promised land? You see, because that's not his way of doing things. It's not his way to override your will to get something into your life that he desperately wants for you.
Right.
He's got more self-control than that. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine loving to the level that he loves, and then looking at, you know, this dodo over here that he wants them to be well and prosperous and with joy and peace, and the self-control that it takes not to just pick them up out of it, override their will, and put them in it. Right? Because he won't do that.
Right.
So how did he function? He said it to a man. And then, in fact, he said it long before Moses was over there. He said it to Abraham. He said, these people are going to go into bondage, and then I'm going to get them out. So then what do you think Abraham taught Isaac? Then what do you think Isaac taught Jacob? What do you think Jacob said to his son? What do you think Joseph said all the way down? And now, see, what's he doing? He's getting his word into the heart of man because he's endeavoring to grow something. So now when the word comes, no matter how impossible it may seem, if it's the word of God, you never want to reject that word. There's been oftentimes where I preach sometimes on financial prosperity. Why would God have... Now, I don't pick what I preach. I would like to preach on things that everybody likes, because then everybody would like me, and we'd all be a big, happy family. You know, it's natural to want to be liked. Now, if you get in the ministry, you learn real quick that I can't let that affect me.
Right.
I got a revelation about 4 months in. Not everybody likes me. And I was shocked when I got that revelation. I thought, I mean, if they would talk to my mom, they would know what a nice young man I am. But what am I saying? Why would God have me preach on financial prosperity? Because he's wanting people to come out of poverty. And but to get them out, he first has to come with his word. But see, now what happens oftentimes when he comes with his word, people immediately begin to reject it. And see, when you reject the seed, you refuse the harvest. That's why you just need, like I've heard Pastor Ram say, you know, bunches of times, if you don't have it all the way, just pray about it. Don't start getting mad and huffy and puffy before you think that why you think that's wrong. Why don't you ask yourself, why do I think that's wrong? There's been some things where I've preached and somebody disagreed with it, and you know what it made me do? It made me go back to the bit verses and say, let me check. And I'd go through verses, and it helped me because the more verses I'd go through, the more I'd understand. Yeah, that was what I said was right in line with the word. Right? So, see, anytime something comes up where, you know, there's a question, then I always have to go back to this.
Yes.
Right? And that's what you have to do. You got to go back to this because I don't want to reject the word that was sent to get me out of my condition.
Amen.
In my belief that it's not the right thing. Okay? This is good tonight. What verse do I have yet? Luke chapter 8.
Okay, now let's talk about this, and we'll talk more about it. Rusty, that's good. Can you go back to the first slide? Now, this is an old slide, so I apologize for the looks, but you'll get the idea. Word, seed, ground, heart. Do you see the illustration? Now, go to the next one. Now, how do I get the word into my heart? I put it in my eyes. I say it out my mouth, and I put it in my ears. And then where will that seed go? You can go next one, Rusty. It's going to go down into my heart, isn't it?
Yeah.
Through the eyeway, through the airway, down into my heart. Go ahead and go to the next one. And then what? That's first the brain, isn't it?
Now, I did an apple tree, because I like apples. So you can do whatever tree you want. But that's what the seed produces first, doesn't it? So see, there's no fruit yet. And that represents your faith. And see, Rich, when you first hear the word on something, you have a little faith about it, don't you? Now, what happens... Now, the word is not only seed, but the word is water, Ephesians 5, and the word is life, Psalm 119. So now, in the natural realm, you need water and you need life to get the seed to grow, don't you? Well, in the spiritual realm, you need water and you need life to keep the blade going, right? So go to the next one. So there you go, Rusty. You're smart, man. You put it in, what's the water of the word, the light of the word? You just keep putting it. You don't have to know whether it's water or light. You just keep putting it in. It's everything, right? You just keep putting it. As you do, what's going to happen to your tree? So your tree is growing now, isn't it? It's getting bigger. Still no fruit on it, though. And see, this is the problem that people have. They don't stick with it long enough to let their faith develop.
Amen.
And they quit with a small tree wondering why they don't have a harvest yet. Well, would you look at the blade and be like, "What? I'm shocked that there's no apples coming off of that blade."
Sure.
Then why would you be shocked when your faith is this big? And look, if the fruit's not there yet, that just tells you that you're not done developing faith yet.
Amen.
Doesn't mean your faith isn't good enough. It just means that you're not done developing it.
Right.
So you just keep developing it. And when do you develop it? When you're under pressure.
Yep.
And you want to give up and you want to give in, but you pass the test and you keep saying, "Lord, what happens to your tree? It gets bigger." Right, the more time you spend in the Word about something, the more bolder the bolder you get about it.
Yes.
I'm still bold, but I've learned to know who I'm talking to, right? Because sometimes people are not ready for you.
Sure.
Right? Everybody's not at the same level. That doesn't mean one's better than others, right?
Right.
But I got a lot I could say, but I don't need to say what I could say or what I think you need to say. I need to say what you will receive.
Amen.
Right? Because that's what it's about, receiving. So what I'm saying is the more time you spend on it, the more confident you're going to get in it. Why? Because that faith starts to get bigger. What happens? Go ahead. Oh, there you go. Rusty, it's growing again. Getting bigger. Go to the next one, Rusty. Now what do we got? Now see, the tree was developed. Now we got some fruit coming off it because we stuck with it long enough. This is God's way of doing things. So he always says it with his word, doesn't he? Right? He always does it with faith, doesn't he? And you see that tree right there? You know what that tree works by? It works by love. Because faith works by love. And see, when you get outside of love, that tree looks like Charlie Brown's Christmas tree.
Yeah.
You know what that looks like? A sick, dead tree. And I don't care what words you're putting in, you can't water it back to life if you're not in love.
Amen.
Love is the force behind that tree that's making it go.
Amen.
Right? And that's why it's so important that you stay in love, because without it, faith won't work. And if faith doesn't work, you can't walk in victory. Not only just the mere fact that God told you to walk in love, right? But that's what your tree works by. So I want to stick with it long enough, my tree's growing. My tree's developing. Okay? Well, let's go to the next one. I just want to do this illustration. And then that fruit is obviously the result you get in life. Now, look at this. Go ahead and go to the next one, Rusty. So now, what if that seed up there has a dollar sign on it? And the reason it does is because this is for financial prosperity. You could do this for healing, for a good marriage. So now, could anybody take just a little bit more money in your life? Maybe you're too holy, maybe you don't want a whole lot, but just a little bit more. Well, whatever. The amount that you want, that's between you and him. Right? You, however great of a blessing you want to be, however much bigger you want your tithe to be, you know, if you want to show up at people's houses with new cars and new clothes and just bless, whatever level you want, it's up to you. But if you could take a little bit more increase, then how would you go about adding it to you? Well, the first thing I want to do is I got to get seed, don't I? So now that 2 Corinthians 9:8 talks about God's able to make all grace abound towards you so that you have all sufficiency in all things and abound every good work. So that's the word seed. Now, what do I need to do with that word? Do I need to sit in church and just say, "Amen"? That's good, preacher. Hallelujah. I know it's God's will. Amen. You better do something more than that.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
What do you need to do with it? You need to take it home with you, and you need to start sending it down your eyeway, down your earway, saying it out your mouth, go back. What's happened? It's going to go through the gateway of your mind and start getting into your heart, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, Rusty, go to the next one. And then what's going to, I like this, this is one of my favorites. What is that tree? That tree is a money tree. It's what you believe. You believe I'm prosperous. You believe I'm wealthy. And my financial needs are met. Where did that belief come from? It comes from the word seed that you spend time with. And what will it produce? It will produce financial provisions. Is that good?
Yes.
It'll work that way. You could grow a healing tree. You could grow a joy tree. Right? Some Christians need to grow a joy tree. I mean, there is nothing worse, a worse witness than a depressed Christian.
Come on.
Hi, I'm Bob. I know Jesus. Do you want to get saved? No, Bob, I don't want to get saved. You look like death on my doorstep. No, no, that's a terrible witness. How would you grow joy? I got to go get the word seed on joy. I got to put it in my eyes, put it in my ears, say it out my mouth, and grow a tree, don't I? Because if I start believing I have joy, then what's going to happen is joy is going to manifest. Right? But belief doesn't come from nowhere the way a tree doesn't come from nowhere. A tree comes from seed the way faith comes from the word. And with no tree, you're not going to get any fruit. And with no faith, you're not going to get any results. But with no word, you're not going to get any faith. So where do you think you should start all the time? I've got to start with the word seed. Right? I like my picture of the money tree. So just, you know, praise the Lord. Now, what verse do I have here?
Luke 8.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's good, Rusty. I think we'll probably be done with that. Luke chapter 8. Well, money doesn't grow on trees. Yes, it does. Grows from your faith. You can set your own income. Right? Well, I live on a fixed income. Okay, well, who fixed it? You see, we get the idea that somebody else is determining it. But God gave you authority to determine it. And you can. Now, why is this good? Well, I mean, this is good because the more blessed I am, the more of a blessing I can be.
Amen. Yes.
I mean, I got dreams about showing up to certain people's houses with certain objects. Somebody's saying, is it me? Is it, well, just don't worry about it. If I show up, it will be. Why? Because I want to be a blessing. Right? I mean, I want to see. When I show up, I want their bottom lip to start quivering. I want the tears to start welling up in their eyes. I want them to be so blessed. Right? I mean, that's where I was getting my hair cut one day, and somebody gave me $20 after I got done preaching one night or something, or church, and somebody shook my hand, had $20. I thought, praise the Lord, I'm going to go buy some golf balls or something with this money. And I had it all. That was my golf ball money. I put it in my pocket. I'm getting golf balls with it. Amber can't tell me no because this is my money. I'm putting it in my golf balls. I'm going to get golf balls. Now I go get my hair cut, and the Lord says to me, give this money to the girl that cuts your hair. So then what do I start doing? I'm going to start reading this out so it's less money. Okay, you mean I'll just give this to her and that's for the haircut and the tip? No, no, no. You pay for the haircut, give her the tip, and then give her this money. That's my golf ball money. Don't you know that? But look, I mean, I'm not going to disobey God over $20. Right? So, and the Lord told me something to say to her. And so after she got done cutting her hair, I prayed to her and I said, ma'am, I said, the Lord just told me to give you this $20 and tell you that he loves you, he cares about you, and anything that's going on in your life right now, he just wants you to know it's all going to work out. I didn't just say that. I felt led of the Lord.
Yes.
In the middle of me saying that, I see her eyes start welling up with tears. And inside I'm going, yes, cry, cry, cry. Now that's sad, but I'm going, yes, yes, come on, fall out of the ball, fall out. She was so blessed.
Yeah.
Over $20.
Sure.
What do you think she would have done if it was $20,000?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? That's my dream. Right? Bigger and more than that. Now look, you just go where you want to go. Right? But I want to be a great blessing. Right?
Yeah.
Now, what am I saying? Where would all that begin? I got to start with this word. See. And it'll produce in my life. Are you in Luke chapter 8? Okay, Luke chapter 8. Look at verse 11 here. I think we quoted this to you, but let's read this verse. Are you getting this tonight? Anything I want to have in my life, if I can find the seed of God's word for it, I can grow it. Okay? I can put it in my eyes and put it in my ears and say it out of my mouth and get it in my heart and it'll come to pass in my life. I can grow what I need. I can grow what I desire. I can grow what I want. I grew Amber on words of God and words of faith. Somebody said, grew Amber? Well, you know, you understand what I'm saying. She came off my faith tree. I came off her faith tree. And probably yours, because you're probably praying too for her.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Right?
Amen.
But I was praying. where do I have to start with that? Well, I knew it. If I'm gonna do this, I got to start with the Word. So I got to go to the bag. I got to go to not the book of rules that tells me what I can't do. I got to go to the bag of seed that tells me the harvest I'm capable of getting.
Amen.
And see, He gave you all this for free, didn't He? That's grace. He gave you great the word seed by grace. But to see it in manifested form, it's going to require your faith. Did you hear me? Now, so I had to go to the Word, and I got to start putting it in. There'd be nights where it didn't look like I was ever going to be married. I thought, the devil, he jumps in there with you. He starts showing you, different pictures of yourself when you get old and lonely and old single preacher all by himself, no wife. And, Saturday night again, what are you doing? I'm home studying or just by myself, why? He's trying to keep this tree from getting in me and producing. But I just had to stick with the Word, didn't I? Keep watering it, keep giving life to it, and pretty soon my fruit showed up. Jeez, good fruit. Now, that's all I'm going to say about that. Now, go to Luke chapter 11 there, verse 8. Luke chapter 8, verse 11. Look what Jesus said. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the Word of God. The seed is the Word of God. So now remember, He's running a parallel, isn't He? Natural farming, spiritual farming. So now, when you're in need in the kingdom of God, the first thing that we need to do is go get the seed. Why? Because without the seed, a farmer has no potential to see a harvest. I mean, you have no ability to see a tomato harvest if you have no tomato seed. Does anybody grow? I know that Joe and Marie grow some anointed tomatoes. I mean, they are tomatoes you feel like you are in the promised land. I mean, I know they're probably praying over their stuff because it's good. Anybody else grow anything there? Yeah, grow tomatoes or grow something. Well, what's the first thing you do when you want to grow something? The first thing you do is go get the seed from wherever you get it from. Right? And then you plant it. And after you plant it, do you stay up at night worrying, thinking, oh, I wonder if my tomatoes are growing? Maybe I should go check them. I'm going to go check them. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go check. And then when you don't, you just planted them this afternoon, and you look at it tonight, and you don't see anything. So then you go in your bathroom, and you cry all your makeup off because there's no tomato growing up. Do you do that? What do? You just go to bed. You get up in the morning, you water it, you make sure it's under light. You sleep and rise night and day, don't you? You're just, why? Because you have confidence in the tomato seed. You have confidence in whatever you planted it in. You have confidence in the system, don't you? I wish we'd give God that much credit. So when you put the Word in your heart and you put it in, you're planting, you're sowing it, just go to bed and wake up tomorrow and make sure you water it. Make sure you get, but have confidence in the system that God set up and set in place. What did Jesus say? Worrying is not going to add it to you. So why would you do it? And if you don't see any fruit after day one, just stick with it, right? And don't get discouraged because of what you don't see. You've heard it before. The first place the seed works is where you can't see it. Right? You can't see anything. For, I don't know. I haven't grown any tomatoes or anything like that recently. But I mean, maybe you can't see it for the first 2 weeks or 3 weeks. You don't see anything. But it's working, isn't it? Or maybe you put the Word in it. Maybe you don't see anything for the first 8 months. Does that mean it's not working? Just means you can't see it yet. Right?
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's good news for people that doesn't look like it's working. The Word is the seed. So without a seed, the farmer has no potential to see a harvest. The harvest is in the seed. Listen to those words. The harvest that you want is in the seed that you possess.
That's right.
I mean, if I sow one tomato seed and it curls and gives me 8 tomatoes, now don't mess with my farming. I don't know all about it, but I'm just giving you all the truth. All of those tomatoes were wrapped up in that one little seed. All of them were in there. Why? Because that's where the harvest is located, in the seed. So if you're desiring the harvest, you need to go get the seed.
Amen.
Because that is where it's located.
Amen.
Right? Okay, well, I'm going somewhere with this, and I got a few minutes left, so hang tight. To the farmer, if you don't have the seed, you have nothing. Right? In the system of farming, you will get nowhere without the seed. In the kingdom of God, you will get nowhere without the Word. Go to John 15:7 with me. I'm going to look at this verse, a few more, and then we'll be done tonight. John 15:7. You have to have the seed, don't you? We're going to talk more about the seed next week. But you have to have the seed of the word. Okay? And it's like, for many believers, it's like the word is like secondary. And they get in crisis, and you know what they start doing?
Oh,
yeah. Pastor Ron said that on his bread. He's a called pastor. Yeah, that's right. He is not Jehovah Jireh, right? The first thing, now look, that's, you know, do what you got to do.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
But I was going to say the first thing most people do, after they call a pastor, I guess, is the first thing people do is they go to God and start praying.
Yeah.
I'm going to pray. And most of the time it's, you know, and look, if you're crying, you're going through, it's okay. You know, we're not condemning it. But most of the time it's tear, crying, begging, pleading, unbelieving prayers. Oh, God, please, please, please. And but look what Jesus said about this, about prayer. Because one of the main principles of prayer is in John 15:7. He said this: if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will and it will be done. So see, one of the main principles of prayer is that you have to have the word up in you when you ask. So this didn't say anything about just come to me and cry and I'll meet a need. This said, when you come, have my word abiding in you. And if my word abides in you and you abide in me, then ask what you will, then it will be done. And remember when I was talking about the world has a way and God has a way? Do you understand the world even has a way of church? Do you understand the world even has a way of religion? Do you understand the enemy tries to build up a counterfeit of church? You do understand that. Now, we're not looking to use this to judge any other churches, are we? Right? But the reality is the enemy tries to get involved in churches and tries to build up unscriptural stuff that isn't in line with God's way of doing things. And the reason it's deception is because we're sitting here and we think it is. That's why one of the best things that you can do as a believer is, first of all, recognize you don't know it all.
That's right. Yeah.
And you could be wrong. Right?
Yeah.
And that's why you need to stay meek. You need to stay teachable, because there's nothing worse than a person that's wrong and thinks they're right. They're deceived. That's dangerous. Why? Because they're certain they're right. That's why you just need to be open. If it comes up and people are saying, well, you might be missing it there, or a word comes forth, they might say you might be missing it there. You just need to go to God and say, well, God, I could be wrong. Maybe what I think is wrong. Let me go to your word and find out. Because the worst thing you can do is think you're right. And you're wrong. Right? We don't want to be like that. That's been my prayer from the moment I got in this, Lord. If I'm missing it, Mary, if I'm misseeing your word, if I'm not understanding it correctly, show me. Because I don't want to think that I'm doing something that's in line with you and it's not. Right? It's safer to know what you're doing is wrong. Because at least you know it's wrong than to think it's right and be wrong. Okay. Now, what was I going to say? Okay, here we go. That's where I was going then. And the world, the enemy likes to come in and paint this picture of religion that believers, when they get in trouble, they go to God in a time of crisis and pray and ask God to do something, and then they go sit home on their couch and wait for God to show up. And it carries this idea where we are not co-laboring with God, but we are babies that wham, 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 and then God gives us what we need because we cried loud enough. But remember, we're supposed to be co-laborers with Him. Right, we're supposed to be working together with Him, not Him working for me. And He told you and me that He's only able to do according to the power that's at work within you. So He's looking at that power of that tree that's in you, and He's getting His assignment for your life based on the belief and the faith that you have in Him. Right? See, God will only be to you what you believe He can be and is to you. Remember when Jesus came to His hometown? He's the Messiah. He's the healer. But He was not that to them. And therefore, He was not able to be that to them. So see, God's getting oftentimes His direction for your life. He's getting it from what you believe. If you believe He's a God that can save your family members, then He'll be that to you. If you believe He's a God that can heal your body, He'll be that to you. If you believe He's a God that can get you out of debt, He will be that to you. But what you don't believe He is, He cannot be to you. So He's only able to do according to that faith that you have on the inside of you. So see, now I'm not just going to God in a time of crisis and just, I've got the Word abiding in me. I'm walking with Him, working with Him, sowing together. Okay, now, I got just about a minute left here. Are you understanding what I'm saying with that? I need to go get the Word, and I need to put it in my heart, and put it in my ears, and my eyes, and my mind, to get it down in my heart. I need to have the Word abiding in me, because that's what Jesus said. If I ask of Him, then it will be done, if the Word's abiding in me. Right? So any situation in life, I need to go find out what the Word says about it. So you take like God gave me this example today as we're closing, a better marriage. So now, if I want a better marriage, then what do I need to do? I need to go get the Word on it, don't I? So I go to 1 Peter chapter 3, because that talks about marriage. And it talks about how the wife should submit to her husband, and should honor him, and defer to him, and prefer him, and esteem him, and love him. So see, if I'm a husband, then I'm going to say, Father, I thank you that my wife prefers me. I thank you that she esteems me. I thank you that she honors me, and that she's submitted to me. Then when I go down to read my part, I say, Father, I thank you that I love her the way Christ loved the church. And I thank you that I treat her as the weaker vessel. Not that she is weaker, but I'm supposed to treat her as weaker. I'm supposed to honor her and take care of her. What am I doing? I want a good marriage, but I have to grow it. So I'm going to go to the Word and find out what it says. Now notice there's no begging, there's no pleading, there's no crying in that. All there is now I'm sowing it. I'm putting it in. Why? Because I can grow a good marriage. I can grow it. And if you're a wife, and then the scripture said this about the wife. It said, if your husband isn't saved, let him be one with your, I'll just paraphrase it, with your lifestyle. Yes. So if your husband's not living for the Lord, it said, let him be converted or changed, not by your constant nagging.
Amen.
But by your lifestyle and godly character, he will turn.
Amen.
Not because you suddenly leave CDs on his desk. Put him in his car so when he turns the car off, somebody's preaching to him. What did it say for you to do? Live godly before him. So what are you doing when you're doing that? You're putting a seed in. Father, I thank you you're helping me to live godly before him. And I thank you as he sees me, I thank you he's turning.
Yeah.
I thank he's living. What are you doing? You're putting it in your heart to grow it in your life. But the first place you have to go to when you desire harvest is to get the seed. Right? And this is what the kingdom of God looks like. And this is how the Lord showed me this years ago, and of course he's been growing it. This is how we do everything in our life and our ministry. We go to the Word. We find out what the Word says. We put it in. We put it in. We put it in. And out of our heart comes our life. Right? That takes all the begging out of it. It takes all the crying out of it. Remember when Jesus was in the boat with the disciples, and he said, what did he say to them? He said, let us go over to the other side. Is that seed? It's seed, isn't it? Is there power in those words to get him across?
Yes.
Now what happened? He went downstairs and went to sleep. Why? Because he sleeps and rises night and day. And he knows it's going to come up. He knows I'm getting across. So he's sleeping. And what did the disciples do? When the storm came, they went down and got to him. And well, don't you care? And all this stuff. Are they begging? Are they pleading? They're doing all these things. And then Jesus said, peace be still. And then he did not say, boys, you did a good job. You got in trouble, and you came to me, and you pleaded long enough, and you cried, and you accused me of not caring for you. That's exactly what you should do when you're in need, because I'll take care of it. He didn't say that. You know what he asked him? He said, where's your faith? Now, where's your tree? Why did they have no tree? Because they didn't sow the seed of that word. See, that word was their seed to get across. He said, where's your tree? Where's your faith? Why? Because they weren't spending time with his words. They decided to listen to what the storm said, and that got in, right? So see, there's not going to be any brownie points for that kind of life. He expects you to do what he did. And he had the word in his heart, came out of his mouth, right? Did you get this tonight? I got to be done. Praise the Lord. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Go. Of course, all these tapes and CDs will be available, so you can pick those up. We're going to put them in a series for you. You got it tonight?
Yes, sir.
Now remember, what are you going to do? You're going to go home and be a doer, right? Okay. Hallelujah. Well, Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for revelation of it. Declare it with me as you go tonight. Say, I'm a doer.
I'm a doer.
I'm a doer of the word of God.
I'm a doer of the word of God.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Well, you're dismissed tonight. Tell somebody God loves you and I love you.
I love you.